We going?
All right, welcome everybody to our active transportation meeting of March 11th. We're excited to have you here. It is 9:47 and we will begin kind of with introductions. Let's go around and have everyone introduce themselves. I'm Mayor Joe Shoblum and I'm the chair of this committee. So welcome all of you. Let's start over here with Katie.
Katie Gerard, Wasatch Front Regional Council staff.
Greg Hackett, Utah Department of Health.
Let's go from here.
Ted Knowlton, WFRC staff.
Dirk Burton, West Jordan City Mayor.
Chris Lee, Bike Utah.
Laura Hansen, UTA Planning.
Dory Johnner, Wasatch Front Regional Council staff.
Hugh Van Wagenen, WFRC staff, and I love your tie, Mayor Burton.
Andrea Pearson, WFRC staff.
Troy Walker, Mayor Pearson.
Richard Heyer, Glen City Council, representing Weaver area county fairways.
Norm Searle, Mayor, Riverdale City.
Justin Brady, Tooele City Council.
Thomas Carter-Less, Stockton Town Mayor.
Darrell Bountain, Warren County.
Okay, in the mech here, and can you stand and speak really loud?
Yeah, John, I'm going to be a person staff. Jamie Clausen, Tooele County Health. Chris
Woodsey, Bike Utah. Austin Taylor, Provost City.
Roger Borgnick, Hugh Thomas for Better Transportation.
Okay, awesome. Thank you, everyone. Welcome. We're glad to have you here. Is anyone here for the first time? Raise your hand if you are. Oh, okay. We've got two. That's great. Thanks so much for coming. Okay, so let's go ahead and approve the minutes from our last meeting on February 12th. Are there any comments or questions? Then do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Okay, Mayor Walker and Mayor Searle. And any further comment? Well, okay, then all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. All right, I don't have a lot to say since our last meeting last month, but I have to tell you that I'm super excited. I'm sure you're all aware that in May, May is Bike Month. This is the best month of the year, right? And so, and I'm really excited this year because we have one elementary school in our city, South Weaver Elementary, and there are close to 900 students that attend that school, and it's growing every day. But anyway, we are planning a bike to school with the mayor on May 22nd, and we've got all kinds of activities that we're going to do along the way and have water stops and hopefully cyclists that will tune up their bikes and things. And so we're super excited about that and just want to encourage you to think of something to do in your community to celebrate Bike Month and then come back here and tell us all about it. We'd love to hear your stories and your experiences. So that's all I have. We will move to public comment. Open it up to everyone, and if you could just keep your comments to 2 minutes or less, that'd be awesome. And we'll open that now.
Of course, I always get up. Kim Clausen, Tooele County Health Department. My job is a health educator, and I work for health promotion, so I promote health. I wear a lot of different hats in our community. So this morning I'm here for active transportation. I go back and I teach in the schools. I will be teaching sex ed to 7th and 8th graders, and then I have an opioid dashboard meeting in the afternoon. So active transportation is a great part of my job, and I love promoting it. We've had some great things that are moving forward out in Tooele County. I announced that we did get the National Parks grant to help have a planner for advancing our Tooele Valley pathway plans. We do have funding to help advance a section of our pathway, the sound wall, and I have applied for additional funding for that. So we are continuing to try to move forward and network. We had a fantastic site visit last week that I won't go into much detail about, but Bike Utah was there, BLM was there, National Parks was there, our commissioner was there, and we've got some great ideas for connecting some areas. And the people that we had there with Bike Utah and National Parks and area we went to, they're like, oh my gosh, this is beautiful up here. And I'm like, shh, don't tell anybody. So when I do come to these meetings, I think it's fantastic to hear of the spaces that have been preserved for biking and hiking. We're looking at trying to connect our communities up to those spaces of biking and hiking. I hate to, you know, single out one, but Draper's one of those places. I grew up in Draper from the time I was 10 to 18. I used to take my bike and ride it up into Corner Canyon before it was Corner Canyon, but it is wonderful to see those areas and spaces being preserved. But I'd like you to be mindful of when you are trying to connect areas. I've had many from Salt Lake County and Tooele County contacting me, asking me, please, could you connect Tooele County biking somehow to Salt Lake County? I, from my home, can drive to the Salt Lake City Airport, or whatever you want to call it, in about 20 minutes. That's not, some of you, it takes much longer that live across the valley. That is a doable bike ride. With some of the things that are proposed in the Salt Lake area for the Inland Port, the prison, please consider biking paths into Tooele County. One suggestion was that the prison, we have electric bikes for people that work there. Wouldn't that be fantastic if there was a pathway that from the prison to Tooele County, someone could ride an electric bike? Those employees that work there have a high risk of having depression. Exercise helps with depression. If we could get those that have to work with people that are more difficult, on their way home, they could ride a bike, look at the great view across the Salt Lake, Great Salt Lake, and get a little decompressed before they get home. That would be fantastic. So please, when you're considering your planning and going around out, you know, to Wendover or out to Tooele County, please consider biking paths along that route because it is a gorgeous view. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim. Other public comment? Okay, we've had a few more members of our committee and others join us, and so we'd like to do introductions and go around with them as well. We'll start over here with the mayor.
If you could. That's great. Good morning. I'm Mayor Michelle Cafusi from Provo.
Jeff Silvestrini from Mill Creek.
Helen Peters, Transportation Program Manager, Salt Lake County.
And we had a couple more back here, I think. You'd stand and...
Sharon. We're doing introductions.
Well, that sounds like Blinky. No, sorry, Sharon already saw something.
Welcome.
Brandon. Brandon.
Brandon.
Brandon. Say hi.
Hi.
All right, thank you. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for coming. All right. We now have an action item, approve our 2020 goals, and I'm just going to turn the time over to Hugh for just a minute to talk about our goals.
Thank you, Mayor. So this is following up from our first meeting of the year where there was a discussion about the 2020 goals for the committee.
And this is on the back page of your packet and also up on the screen, and hopefully it was emailed to you as well, or I believe it was. And so really there were five goals in 2019. We've consolidated that into four goals, primarily by taking the planning goals of regional and local, that were two separate goals last year, and combining them into goal number one, plan continued adoption and refinement of active transportation plans that coordinate local and regional plans. The build number two, that has not changed from last year, continuing to fund and construct priority projects through shared awareness of and advocacy for funding opportunities and partnering across agencies. Certainly something we'll dive into today when we talk about project applications with Ben Withrich. Educate, this has changed a little bit. Educate was still the prompt, but increased support for ET through choosing to bike and walk and inviting others to do the same, something that Mayor Walker talked about in the last meeting. Sharing successes was also mentioned. So again, getting the message out about what's going well and highlighting economic and health benefits. And then number four, coordinate, collaborate on policy issues of e-bike adoption, which was mentioned last time, facility maintenance, which was mentioned, and regional wayfinding. So this was my attempt to take all the discussion from the last meeting and consolidate it into these four goals, and just looking for any feedback and if everybody's okay with this. Looking for a motion to approve these goals for this 2020.
One very minor suggestion is on item four, perhaps we say collaborate on policy issues, including, just to enable the committee to just acknowledge that we may look at more options than those three.
That's a good idea, thank you. Any other comments or questions on the goals?
Open it up to the committee. So that was something that was definitely a focus last year, right? Making sure state legislation was on board with allowing the use of the scooters, and that did happen in past. There's still a lot of space there that could be worked with. It just wasn't as big of a topic discussion at the last meeting. But what is the committee
I would feel that we can include it instead of just scooters, because there's other options. Like I saw like three monowheels on my way into the meeting today. So if we just say micromobility elements or options.
I was going to say the exact same thing Heidi did. But I have one other addition, potentially. I feel like a lot of times we think of active transportation as being synonymous with either walking or biking, but we have a lot of people in wheelchairs and using mobility devices, and I'm here representing UTA, and we have great bus stops, but if you can't get to the bus stop in a wheelchair, public transit isn't accessible to you. And so I'd love to see this committee elevate ADA accessibility as a topic.
Any thought on where that might fit into either educate or coordinate?
Probably the coordinate policy.
And let me also add that all of the little micromobility devices that are electric are not actually active transportation, although they use similar facilities, and so I'm happy to include them. But skateboarding is active transportation, unless it's an e-skateboard. So I'd like to suggest that skateboarding be included as it is active.
So any thoughts from the committee about the suggestions that have been made? Possibly changing on coordinate number one from e-bike adoption to micromobility adoptions, pretty inclusive of all the devices and modes out there. Adding a number four to the bottom of four, it should be A, B, C, D, excuse me, and do ADA accessibility. And then, Becca, any thoughts on where skateboarding might, where you want to include that in any of these things?
Wherever we're putting wheelchair in for skateboarding. Right. Wheelchair accessible.
Yeah, wheelchair accessible.
Skateboarding
fall under micromobility?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I just think
that since the skateboarding is actually active, we might consider it a little bit differently than all these other micromobility things, even though those are
perhaps rising in their popularity and more visible. There's a lot of skateboarders out there, you just have to notice.
Hugh, I have maybe, go ahead, Pam. Do we have equity as an element in the prioritization process? Would that address
Kim's? Yeah, the regional transportation plan, we certainly do, an access to opportunity, right, is part of that. So there are measures where we're trying to take into account those types of populations, absolutely, which feeds into what becomes a priority project. So we could certainly talk about that more and what that is at a later date, but absolutely, it's something that we consider and focus on.
I had one more comment for four. We say collaborate on policy issues. I realize that adoption for e-bike and micromobility is perhaps a policy issue, but ADA perhaps is not a policy issue because federally we have issues with PROAG and trying to adopt like actual ADA policies like at a national level. And so maybe we like tweak the wording on that so that it's not just policies. I'm open to other suggestions.
I wonder, yes, sorry, Mayor Burton, did you just?
I was just thinking maybe move that under number two for Bill.
ADA accessibility. Yeah, that was my thought. That way we leave the policy easy one. Okay.
Yeah.
So did everybody catch that? Take the ADA accessibility comment and include that under number two, Bill, because we're really talking about not creating policies for accessibility, but building the facilities that allow the actual accessibility to different venues of transit. If there's nothing else, I'll do a quick recap and then look to get a motion on these. So one stays the same as presented. Two, I'm gonna add a third bullet regarding ADA accessibility. Three stays the same as presented. And four will be coordinate, collaborate on policy issues, including micromobility adoption, facility maintenance, and regional wayfinding. Okay.
Did you just make a motion then? Okay, Mayor Burton made a motion, and Mayor Walker? Oh, and a third. Okay, are there any more comments or questions on those goals? All right, then all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, goals are adopted, thank you. All right, item number five is a review of our transportation alternatives program applications. And to run that, we've got Ben and Hugh doing that. We'll turn the time over to them.
Thanks, Mary. I'll do a little introduction before turning the time over to Ben Withrich, who's our transportation improvement program manager. And this meeting that was scheduled this year became a sixth meeting of the year, and we didn't do this last year, and so we're hoping this is beneficial for you and interested in your feedback, not only about the projects that we'll go through, but also the content of the meeting and the purpose of the meeting. But in the bylaws for the Active Transportation Committee, one of the roles that you play is as an advisory body to the Transportation Coordinating Committee that handles all of the funding approvals for the Transportation Alternatives Program, the Surface Transportation Program, and the Congestion Mitigation Air Quality Program, which are those federal funds that come in and are administered through WFRC in collaboration with our partners. And so today, because you're the Active Transportation Committee, primarily focusing on the Transportation Alternatives Program and all of the applications that have come in that are being vetted right now, and looking for feedback on these projects before they go to the Transportation Coordinating Committee, Technical Advisory Committee. I'm trying not to use acronyms best I can. It makes me long-winded. So as we jump up here, we'll have Ben go through these. And the big project list that was given to you, this is actually every surface transportation project and congestion mitigation air quality project. We won't go through all of these. It's just for your information. But we'll go through all the Transportation Alternative Program projects, in addition to several congestion mitigation air quality projects and surface transportation program projects that have significant active transportation components in them along the Wasatch Front region. Jim Price from MAG was invited to come and present on everything that's going on in Utah County and the applications they've received, because this is a funding year cycle for them. Fortunately, Jim had something come up and a conflict and couldn't make it, but we do have an overview of what's been submitted in Utah County as a handout given to you, and time pending, we'll show that on a map as well towards the end. So with that, Ben, do you want to take over and fill in anything that I missed? Ben is certainly the expert on all this, has been doing it a long time, and we're grateful for his expertise and for him being here today.
Well, thank you. And maybe a little correction on this list. So I was going through, this actually doesn't have all of the projects, but it has definitely a lot more than what we intended to have for this committee, just so we reduce the confusion as we reviewed through the slides. Are we up?
Oh, Ben, sorry, Katie. Thank you for pulling this up. Should mention the Transportation and Land Use Connection Program also has the same funding cycle as the TIP program that Ben administers. And there were four applications that are being considered through the Transportation Land Use Connection Program. One is the Seven Greenways Vision. Sorry, Ben. One is the Kearns and Magna Metro Active Transportation Plan. One is the Taylorsville Active Communities Plan. And one is the Harriman Active Transportation Plan. And so as the legislative dictate to merge general plans and transportation plans to have active transportation components, and we're filling in along the Wasatch Front these areas that don't have active transportation plans, these have all been applied for. And for those of you that are waiting on hearing about TLC applications, I think that's going to be announced this week. So hang tight. Thank you. Thanks, Katie.
Okay, so as you mentioned, there are several programs that WFRC helps the local governments utilize to accomplish various tasks and goals and responsibilities you have. And today we're going to focus on the three bottom ones there: the Surface Transportation Program, the Congestion Mitigation Air Quality Program, and the Transportation Alternatives Program. And maybe to introduce a little on the process on that, so every fall or in September, we send out a request for letters of intent. Projects that maybe the local community is considering submitting a concept report on to try to compete or to obtain some federal funds. And so those requests for the letters of intent go out in September. Staff will review those, we'll make sure that they're eligible, we'll make recommendations to the community on which funding type they ought to put an application in for, and then we request that they prepare a concept report and or project application. And those are due back to us by the middle part of December. Then we begin from the middle part of December all the way through the end of March through an evaluation process. In that evaluation process, we're talking to the project sponsors. We've collected a lot of data. We'll continue to collect additional data. We go out on site. We meet with the project sponsors. We look at the project, and we bring all this information, and then we combine it all. And as a staff, we review and evaluate. We discuss how many projects currently does that sponsor have in the program, where are we at, what's the history, what's the benefits of the project. So there's a lot more than just the data that helps us identify the best project for the amount of funds that are available. Then we bring that back. That's where we are right now. We want to present this information to you on the projects. The full list is for sure. You're welcome to get a copy of the full list as well as a copy of all the slides. There's almost 100 projects. We won't go through all of them today. You said keep it down to 98. So we'll go through the 98. No, it's quite a bit less. But those are actually on our website. You can review those slides. We're going to see a lot of those slides that Hugh identified as ones that might be of some interest to this committee, in addition to the TAP program. And so when we requested concept reports, so this is the Ogden-Layton urban area, which goes from essentially North Salt Lake all the way up to Brigham City. The colors depict what funding type that project requested. So the yellow would be a CMAQ, the blue would be an STP, and the green would be a TAP fund. So in the Ogden-Layton area, we had 43 concept reports come in. And if we totaled the amount of those project estimated cost, we're over $155 million. Now, if we look at just the federal request in the STP fund down there, we had over $119 million requested for STP funds. There's just under $15.5 million to program. So there's a lot of need for a small amount of money. So that ability to gather information from you so that we can take more as a staff and go to our technical advisory committees that make a recommendation to our boards, it's important. In the CMAQ program, we had a request of over $6 million for about just under $3 million of available funds. In the TAP program, we had $2.7 plus million requesting against an available amount of $830,000. So a lot of demands in the Ogden-Layton urban area. So here's what we're going to do. So the selected projects, and I'll try to point out on the list, and Hugh, help me out, interject anything. Hugh was instrumental when we were out on the field reviews. On those field reviews, we also had personnel from Federal Highways. We had personnel from UDOT and from UTA. Sometimes project sponsors would ride along, as well as staff from our office. So we're going to go through a variety of slides, and we're not going to go into a lot of detail, but maybe just highlight the slide, tell you briefly what it's about, the amount of funds that it's estimated to cost, the amount of request, and then we'll move on. We're going to cover enough that hopefully that's enough detail. If you want more detail, we can talk after, or feel free to approach you or I or anybody, or ask. I guess that's whatever the chair says is good to go. So on this very first project, then the first request we had that we're going to look at is a request from Ogden City, and this is to expand their bike share program. They currently have phase one that is preparing up, gearing up. Hopefully it'll be implemented sometime this year. But this phase request will expand the existing phases. Project estimated cost is a little more than $435,000. And the funds being requested is a little more than $400,000. The next project requested, this is on Perry City, and we're actually going to see four additional projects from Perry City because there were five requests. This is on the improvement and that maybe I want to pause here. The reason we want to talk about the STB and CMAQ is because almost every one of these other programs, the projects that are requested, include active transportation components. And so some of the CMAQ and some of the STP that really highlight that, we wanted to show you so that you're aware that we're looking at active transportation through all of our programs and in each of the projects that we're evaluating. So this one will be a good example. So here on up in Perry, up in Box Elder County, this first phase is a new construction, and that'll construct a facility that'll be a five-lane facility with shoulders, curb gutter, and sidewalk with bike lanes. On this facility, that'll go from SR 91 or 1100 South, and then it'll go towards Willard, which is on your plan as an active transportation route. But this phase here is estimated to cost $6.8 plus million. The funds being requested is $6.2 plus million. The next one is phase one of this project. This is proceeding south. This is also to widen an existing facility. Currently, the facility goes up, and it goes up to where the Walmart store is. This construction is new, out to 1100. This is an existing facility here on 12th West to widen out from a very narrow two-lane cross-section to, in this phase one, is still a five-lane cross-section with curb gutter sidewalks and shoulders with bike lanes. Estimated project cost is 4.9 plus million. Funds being requested are 4.5 plus million. So are we moving too fast? Are we okay? Too slow?
And I noticed on that last one, it only had a 10-foot wide pedestrian biking path, just like this one. And I suggest that it be at least 15. But, you know, I'm not the person submitting the application. But 10 feet wide is just not enough when you have pedestrians going one speed, bicycles going another, and just making sure there's a good separation. You know, and also right-of-way concerns come in as well, but just that I think 10 is a little wide, and at the county, we actually spec them larger, or wider, I should say.
Thank you, Ellen. So in phase two, oh yes, please.
And I guess I have an observation, and that is that it's great to see bike lanes going in on some of these road widening projects, etc., but most people wouldn't ride on a street that has five lanes of traffic and a painted bike lane. It's not enough. So maybe it's something that at some point this body could take up some guidance in terms of, if you have a 50 mile an hour roadway and you have seven lanes of traffic, what type of facility is recommended to be included? Because most people, only a few people, really, like a percentage of the one percenters, will ride on bike lanes on that type of road. It's about speed and volume of traffic and width of the streets.
Perfect, thank you. So, and that brings up an interesting part that so actually in phase one, going back to the first phase and all the way through the first part of phase three, there was a bike project that was approved a couple of years ago on this that will be a separated bike lane. That's why in this particular section of road, they're narrowed down now to a three-lane cross-section with curb gutter, sidewalk, and some shoulder. But the bike facility will be a separated facility through this point. So, thank you. And this particular phase is estimated to cost 2.2 plus million. Funds being requested are slightly over $2 million. The next project is also from Perry City. The last phase is phase four, also to reconstruct and widen 1200 West. The estimated project cost is 3.4 plus million. The funds being requested are 3.1 plus million. To add, the next phase going further south is one that's already been funded, which will be a new facility, which will include a separated bike lane facility, curb gutter, and sidewalk. So we're kind of building from the outside, coming in towards the middle. The next project is a project in Farmington City. This is on SR 106 or 200 East. This is a reconstruct with some minor widening. You might know or be familiar with this. Sidewalk on the west side, nothing on the east side. This project is to construct curb gutter and sidewalk on the east side of this facility. Project estimated cost is 2.2 plus million. Funds being requested are 2.1 plus million. Next project's in Clinton City. This is on 1300 North. This is also a reconstruct with minor widening along 1300 North between 1000 West and 1500 West. It'll also do some improvements along 1500 West. This will widen this last section of a narrow two-lane section to a uniform cross-section of three lanes with curb gutter sidewalk and shoulders for bikes. Or a bike lane. The project estimated cost a little more than $3 million. Funds being requested, 2.7 plus million. Hugh, we going too slow, too fast? We're all right?
Don't ask me, ask these folks.
Yeah. Too slow, we're okay?
You're good.
Okay. Next project, Caseville City, is on Crestwood Road. This is reconstructed with minor widening. This is to address the south side of this facility. It generally opens up to, there's small sections of the sidewalk, but it opens up to an open shoulder. The reconstruct and widening is to the south to provide curb gutter and sidewalk from 4th East up to US 89. Crestwood will tie into the frontage system on US 89 when 89 is reconstructed. Project estimated cost is 2.2 plus million. Funds being requested are 2.1 plus million. The next project is the North South Lake project. This is on Main Street. This is to construct sidewalk where it does not exist between I-15 overpass to Pacific Avenue. You can see the open shoulder, the irregularity on the cross section, the concerns with the drainage. Project estimated cost is $366,000 plus. Funds being requested are $274,000 plus. I know you're lost on this sheet. Should I tell you where the project is on the sheet, or are you okay to go? Keep going. Next project is also in North South Lake. This is a Main Street reconstruct with minor widening. This is to address from Pacific through 1100 North. 1100 North also has a rail crossing, two rail crossings, which will be addressed in a different project. But this is to address the drainage, curb gutter, and sidewalk, as well as the road improvements and that railroad crossing, to improve that to so that it's to standards so that a bike or pet can cross that without any problem. Project estimated cost is 3.2 plus million. Funds being requested are slightly more than $3 million. Next project is a project requesting from UTA. This is through the Weber-Davis County area, or the Ogden-Layton urban area. This is for bus stop improvements. They've identified several locations. You can zoom in on the graph there to see the various cities, the number of stops. Project estimated cost is $571,000. Funds being requested is a little more than $532,000. Next project's in Far West. This is on 4000 North. This is up by Smith and Edwards. If you're familiar with that, it goes from 89 to the west. This will address a vertical concern over the canal there, as well as reconstruct and widen the facility, including sidewalk on one side and bike lanes and shoulders. Project estimated cost is $7.1 million. Federal funds being requested is slightly over $2.8 million. So they're coming to this project with additional funds from Weber County as well as the city. Next project is in Hooper. This is on 5500 West. This is to reconstruct and widen a minor or a two-lane facility, fairly narrow facility, putting curb gutter and sidewalk on both sides of the road. Project estimated cost is 2.4 plus million. Funds being requested is 1.8 plus million. Next project is in Plain City. This is on North Plain City Road. This is phase two. Phase one was programmed with Weber County funds. This phase will go from 2917 North to 3350 West. It's about a half a mile. And this will address curb gutter and sidewalk and shoulders widening for school children on a new elementary school that was built to the north of this facility. Project estimated cost is 3.9 plus million. Funds being requested is 3.7 plus million. Next project is in Uinta. Many of you are familiar with 6600 South. This essentially goes from US 89 up to where you come out of Utah or Uinta up on 84. Project estimated cost is 9.5 plus million. Funds being requested is 8.6 plus. The concerns on this facility, it's a narrow cross section of road. The railroad's on the north side. Houses are on the south side. Not much room to widen this facility to get something in there. Currently students and people and bikes are in the road as they walk this facility. So now we're into the TAP program. So all the TAP projects are listed. So if you go after page five or the back of the third page, this is where the TAP program is listed, and there's the 10 projects there on the TAP program. The first one requesting is in Centerville City. This is to construct a multi-use trail along 1250 West, essentially from Parish Lane, where we have the new overpass over the freeway. There's a pedestrian facility over the freeway to go to where it'll tie into the Legacy and the DNRG rail trail. This project is estimated to cost $466,000 plus. Funds being requested are $378,000. I remember in the TAP program, there's about $870,000 available to program. So you'll see as we go through all of these projects, there's going to be a lot of needling down and finding the best for the amount of funds available at this time. Next project is in Kaysville City. This is Flint Street Trailhead. It's where Webb Lane and Old Mill Lane come together. There's currently just a vacant lot that the city owns. It's to construct a trailhead there, install restrooms, and it is along the DNRG rail trail. Estimated project cost is just over $200,000. Funds being requested is $195,000 plus. Next project is to tie into the Kays Creek Trail underpass. As US 89 is constructed, there's efforts underway to put an underpass under US 89. This will take the trail system on the east side and the west side and connect it to the existing trails. Estimated project cost is $790,000 plus. They're requesting $395,000 plus in federal funds. Next project's in North Salt Lake. This is a section of sidewalk that is missing. This is on 3800 South, the Eaglewood Drive. Just a few feet of sidewalk that's not existing now that the students actually walk in the road or jump from stone to stone, as you can see on the picture. Project estimated cost is $55,000 plus, and they're requesting a little more or just a little less than $38,000. Next project is in Far West. This is along the Willard Canal corridor. So this is right up to where we were looking on that widening 4,000. The Willard Canal is the trail that that bridge will be lowered over. This is to provide access along that canal trail or corridor. Project estimated cost is $40,000. Funds being requested is $30,000. This is to construct gates throughout there where existing fences are at this time. And then we have a project in Ogden City. That's why the TAP and the CMAQ up there, I should have pointed out in the CMAQ. So they requested both types of funds. And so we have this project in a TAP program as well. So that's all of the, I guess it isn't. We still have a Riverdale City project. This is to do a study along SR 60, essentially in 475 East in South Weber City up to 1050 West in Riverdale. This is to do a study to get a parallel facility off of SR 60 for bike and pedestrian traffic. Estimated cost for the study is $75,000. Funds being requested are just under the $70,000. We have another request in Riverdale City. This is 1050 West and 84. This is to construct sidewalk on 1050, essentially from under I-84 interchange there. There's no sidewalk. When we were out on the field review, kids were walking on top of the Jersey barrier or in the road. Project estimated cost is $507,000 plus. Funds being requested is $480,000. And then two projects in Roy. The first one on 4800 South. Currently the Link Canal comes right up and digs into the site of 4800. This is to widen the box culvert there and straighten out the road and provide sidewalk across there. Project estimated cost is $426,000. Funds being requested are just under $400,000. And then there's a similar, it's the same canal, only this as it weaves around, comes over on Midland Drive. Midland Drive bottlenecks to cross the canal. This is to widen the canal, or widen the road on either side on the canal. Project estimated cost $335,000. Funds being requested are $312,000 plus.
Ben, can I stop you for a second?
Yes.
Would everybody like to just stand up and stretch quickly to digest that information? I do, so excuse me. Thanks, Ben.
Yes, next. No.
And again, as we're going through this, there's comments like were made from Helen and Becca. We can sort of take in, or any sort of general feelings about the types of projects that have been submitted. So this is all commentary and review we can take to the technical advisory committees and then push up through the board. So certainly interested if you have other thoughts or comments as we go through this. And I don't think Ben will be offended again if you raise your hand and want to say something during the process. So
thank you.
Thanks.
Ready? Okay, so in the Salt Lake area, which essentially goes from North Salt Lake down to Utah County, you can see the distribution of projects. Again, the colors according to the funding type. The gold color are the CMAQ projects, the blue is the SDP, and the green being the TAP program. So there were 53 projects, and those projects totaled more than $235 million in just these few requests, in 53 projects. It's a big demand. So the federal ask on the SDP program was $142 million plus. There's about $26 plus million available. The CMAQ, there was $16.5 million requested against slightly more than $5 million. And then in the TAP program, there was $4.7 million plus against an available amount of $827,000. So again, any input and recommendation or feedback that we can take to the technical committee is welcome. So the first project, as we move forward, is a request from Bluffdale City. This is the Day Ranch Jordan River Parkway Trail connection. It'll essentially build a bike ped facility up and over a rail line, an active rail line there. Estimated project cost is $6.3 plus million. Funds being requested is $4.5 plus million. Next project is in Compton Heights. You know, this highlight, they've requested in CMAQ and STP funds on this project. This is to address the intersection at Bengal Boulevard and Highland Drive to allow for a dual left on Bengal to Highland Drive, as well as address the pedestrian and bike movements on both going north and south and through the intersection. Project estimated cost is $1.6 plus million. Funds being requested is $1.5 plus million. Next project is a request in South Jordan. This is UDOT's request. This is to extend the Beckstead Trail or Canal Trail. It currently it just stops there about a few hundred feet from 106 South. It'll construct that trail, take it all the way to 106 South, where it'll tie into the sidewalk facility there. Project estimated cost is $239,000, and they're requesting $222,000. Next project, also requesting CMAQ and STP. This is a UDOT Magna West Valley project. This is an exciting project throughout this area on 3500 South. It's to construct sidewalk all along this facility. There are a lot of areas that have no sidewalk throughout this area. It's strictly to put the sidewalk all the way from 5600 West out to 8400 West, so a little more than 3 miles. Project estimated cost is a little more than $2 million, and the funds being requested is $500,000. The next project is in Draper. This is on Fort Street. So this is to take Fort Street, which is a fairly narrow two-lane facility, create a three-lane facility with curb gutter sidewalk and shoulders, including bike lanes, from Pioneer Road to 132 South, almost a mile in length. Project estimated cost is $4.4 plus million. Funds being requested is $3.7 plus million. The next project is also in Draper. This is on Pioneer Road to do the same thing, taking a narrow two-lane facility, widening it to a three-lane facility, and expanding the shoulders, curb gutter, and sidewalk, and including bike lanes on this, from 1300 East to Highland Drive, about a mile in length. Project estimated cost is $7.4 plus million. Funds being requested are $5.7 plus million. Next project is in Kearns area. This is West Sands Boulevard. This is essentially to reconstruct or implement traffic calming throughout this facility. It's a very wide facility that goes from 4715 South to 54 plus South. It's about 1.2 miles. Project estimated cost is 548,000. Funds being requested is 511,000 plus. Next project is in Mill Creek City. This is on 1300 East. This is to reconstruct this facility between 33rd and 39th. And including with this reconstruction is also improvements to the shoulder, curb gutter, and sidewalk, allowing a continuation or the implementation of bike lanes through this facility. Slightly under a mile in length, project estimated cost is 7.4 plus million, and the funds being requested are just under 7 million. Next project is also in Mill Creek. This is on 9th East. Again, to address the narrowness of the road, there are irregular cross sections, so this will widen and reconstruct, provide the safety improvements between 39 South and 4500 South, almost a mile in length. Project cost is 7 plus million. Funds being requested are 2.5 million plus. There are funds already programmed on this project for part of it, and this is the additional funds needed to construct this project. Next project is in Salt Lake City. This is to reconstruct 300 North. The cross section is there, it's a wide road, but in the reconstruction, it's also to implement bike lanes, shoulders, improvements to the curb and gutter where necessary, and a few spots that are missing sidewalk. Project estimated cost is 10.7 plus million. Funds being requested are 9.9 plus million. Next project is also in Salt Lake City. This is on 1300 East. And 1300 East is an old facility throughout Salt Lake area. This particular section is the portion just west of the university between South Temple and 5th South, 3/4 of a mile in length. Project estimated cost is just under $16 million. Funds being requested are just under $15 million. The next project also in Salt Lake City is Parley's Way. This is to reconstruct this facility as well. This will come from 2300 East up to Wilshire Drive, about 3/4 of a mile. Project estimated cost is 9.5 plus million. Funds being requested is 8.7 plus million. In this, as you can see, the cross section there in the lower corner to address the bike lanes as well as the cross section of the road with center medians where appropriate for pedestrian crossing. Next project is in Immigration Canyon. This is actually a project requesting for slope mitigation. There's a couple of areas throughout the canyon where the slope continues to slough down onto the road. This is to help mitigate that problem. Project estimated cost for this particular spot is 3.5 plus million. Funds being requested are a little more than 3.3 plus million. The next project is also a slope mitigation project a little further to the east. This project estimated cost is a little more than 3 million. The funds being requested are 2.8 plus million. And the last project in Immigration Canyon is to address the safety improvements throughout the canyon. There's a section between 62-65 Immigration up to 96-98 where they want to address widening that so it's sufficient for bikes to move out of the traffic lane. Estimated project cost is a little more than 2.5 million. The funds being requested are 2.4 plus million. Next project is in the Magna. This is on 8000 West. This is to reconstruct with minor widening. This will dovetail into a sidewalk project. This will also improve shoulders, curb gutter, and sidewalk, and with the implementation of bike lanes. Project estimated cost is 2.6 plus million. Funds being requested are 2.4 plus million. Next project is in South Salt Lake. This is phase two of the 700 West project to reconstruct minor widening. Now they've temporarily restriped this section already with bike lanes, but this road, this project will reconstruct this section with phase one, which goes from Carlisle up to 33rd. So we'll have a uniform cross section with three lanes of traffic, shoulders, curb gutter, sidewalk, and bike lanes. Estimated project cost 4.9 plus million. Estimated, or the request is 4.6 plus million. Next project is a request from UTA. This is in the Salt Lake West Valley urban area for the bus stop improvements. Depending on the location is the type of bus stop improvements that'll be implemented. They've got a general plan that has identified those. Project estimated cost is $650,000. Funds being requested are $605,000 plus.
Can I just note that
yes.
It looks perfectly fine as is. Just kidding.
God, which one? This is what it used to look like. And then he made it the Western. No, it's back. Yeah, it's the other way. Thanks, Dan. So the next request is in West Valley, this on 1300 West. This is for bike lanes and sidewalks. As you'll recall, there was a study done a couple of years ago that identified 1300 West as a preferred north-south bike facility through the Salt Lake Valley. And this is a section in West Valley City where they want to uniform the cross-section of road, constructing the bike lanes. Estimated project cost is 4.6 plus million. Funds being requested are 4.2 plus million. Next project in West Valley City, this is 3650 South. This is just south of where the West Valley City Hall is, where the UTA, the buses terminal there is pulling in and out. This will reconstruct this facility, widen the facility with shoulders, curb gutter, and sidewalk, including bike lanes. Project estimated cost is 5.8 plus million. Funds being requested are 5.4 plus million. Next project also in West Valley is a reconstruction project on 4100 South. You'll be familiar with the existing project that's just wrapping up. That was a large STP project. This one here will continue the project further west, a little more than a half mile. Reconstruction to a bike lane, two lanes of traffic with the center turn lane. Shoulder curb and gutter improvements. Project estimated cost is 6.5 plus million. Funds being requested are a little more than 6 million. The next project's in Cottonwood Heights. This is 1300 East. This is for a Hawk crossing somewhere between Park Center Drive and Park Center. This project estimated cost is $291,000. And the funds being requested are $272,000. Next project is Cottonwood Heights Creek Road construction. Oh, I'm sorry, I should have stopped. So that last one is the first one of the TAP project. So you can scroll the last two pages and we'll go right down in order on all the TAP projects. This is a Cottonwood Heights Creek Road construction. Currently existing construction has built the road all the way down to where we've got a few hundred feet that does not exist along the garage of a home down to where it tucks into right over the creek there. Project estimated cost is $291,000 plus. Funds being requested $271,000. This is a project out in Magna. This is on 2820 South. This is Safe Routes to School. Constructs a missing sidewalk there between 7560 West to 7440 West. Project estimated cost is $224,000. Funds being requested is $209,000 plus. Next project is in Mill Creek. It's on 1300 East. This is to construct sidewalk. You'll be familiar with the park facility that's on the west side of 1300 East. This is to construct sidewalk on the east side of that facility where they often get a lot of people that park and then just cross the street to enjoy the park. Estimated project cost is $431,000 plus. Funds being requested are $402,000. Next project is in Salt Lake City. This is Kensington East-West Byway. This is to provide a ped bike facility from West Temple up to 60s, a little more than a mile in length to enhance bike and ped traveling east-west through that. Project estimated cost is $538,000 plus. Funds being requested are slightly over $500,000. Next project is in South Jordan. This is a traffic signal. This is Safe Routes to School request, capital improvement. You'll see where the elementary school is located here. There's only one in and out where that black circle is. It's intent to construct a signal in this location, both for school drop-in, drop-off, as well as the bus, and then those homes that live in this particular area as well. Some significant safety concerns. Project estimated cost $460,000 plus. Funds being requested are $429,000 plus. And we have a request in Salt Lake County, this is on 8425 South. This is also safe routes to school between 1300 East and 1475 East, is to construct a sidewalk that is non-existent. Project estimated cost is $396,000 plus. Funds being requested are $322,000 plus. We have a, the next one is a request from a UTA. This is to address the bike racks that are on the buses. Currently, the bike racks on most of the older buses are for two bikes. This request is to exchange them out and put three bike racks on the buses. This amount of $63,000 that's the request, will do about 50 buses, just under 50 buses. Funds requested is $59,000 plus. The next request in West Valley, this is on 3100 South. This is to construct bike lanes. This project estimated cost is 1.5 plus million. The funds being requested are 1.4 plus million. The next one is in White City. This is on Poppy Lane. This is safe routes to school. This is also to construct a missing sidewalk between Siegel Lily Drive and Galena Drive. Project estimated cost is $861,000 plus. Funds being requested are slightly over $803,000. And that would be all of the projects that are being evaluated.
Thanks, Ben. Just in this, why don't we jump into the MAG map really quickly, if we could, and just consider these all together. Laura, you have a comment?
Can I make just one general comment? There's a lot of curb, gutter, and sidewalk reconstruction projects that we just went through, and if there is a UTA bus route on any of those lines, we'd love to partner with you all to improve the bus stops at the same time. So that's a great way for us to kind of leverage our resources. And I think not every city is going to have a train station in their community, and so the bus stops are really the front door to public transit, and we'd like those to be as nice as we can. So reach out to us.
Great comment, thanks.
And if I could, piggybacking on Laura Hansen's good comment, so if it's near a transit stop, these are the ones seeking WFRC funding. We're about to look at the ones seeking MAG funding. There's also TTIF funding for first last mile. And so, you know, in totality, what are we looking at? We're looking at 10 to 1 requests versus funding. And one of the great pieces of news is we have new sources of funding for these kinds of projects. We all have to sort of see if we can apply for those. And I just thought I would note that, given Laura's good comment.
Thank you. And again, I'm trying to fill in for Jim. Sorry, Kim, did you have something?
Well, I just wanted to make a statement. So I get up and ask for, please be considerate of Tulare County. I've spoken to them a couple of times. Why Tulare County isn't requested on some of these is we're different. And so we're assessed for an RPO and when I asked that Salt Lake County consider connecting to Tulare County, I love seeing the 8000 West one, you know, the project on here, but, you know, our economy is different, and it would be great if we could apply for that much for some of our projects. We've got some to do, but we're different.
Thank you. That is a good point. I should have brought that out. So with the urban funds, those funds by law can only be used within the urbanized areas. So Tooele and Morgan are part of the Wasatch Front, but those are available with other federal funds, other state funds, and county funds that are available. We do support that, but currently the way the law is, those urban funds need to be spent within the urban area. So I apologize for not pointing that out earlier, but we are mindful and looking for opportunities for those counties and communities.
And is it correct that Tooele has some congestion mitigation air quality funds that, as long as the funding shows the air quality benefit, can be used for active transportation type projects? And that's programmed from UDOT, but I believe the RPO, the Rural Planning Organization, helps
review those projects and makes recommendations.
That is correct, and our staff sits on that board as well.
Thanks, Ben. So this map up here, apologize, it's not awesome. Again, this is just trying to give you some context for where projects have been applied for in Utah County and Maddox region. So the list that was on the desk this morning as well, watched through, these are the ones, again, being applied for. So Utah County is applying for a segment of Utah Lake Parkway Trail. This being built out on the east side of the lake right now, but eventually there's portions in Saratoga Springs on the west side, and the idea is obviously to have a full trail around the lake. Vineyard requested an active transportation plan study. Utah County, again, another section of Utah Lake Parkway Trail. Sandy Quinn, which is down south below the lake, in sort of a purple color there, for those that aren't familiar, also putting together a trails plan down there. UTA has requested a rail trail environmental study to be done along one of their corridors. Springville, also south of Provo, trails plan, so several studies here that have been applied for. Goshen to construct the Center Street Trail. Goshen is very much south of many, many communities down there. Eagle Mountain, construct a Ranches Corridor Trail. Again, Eagle Mountain is really booming, a lot of population growth out there by Saratoga Springs and trying to connect well into Lehigh for the job development in Lehigh. In Salem, the Canal Connector Trail, lots of canal works, just like up in this part of the region as well, down there, and American Fork, a Center Street Trail. So they had almost $19 million in requests. And you can see the majority of that are for more of these multi-use paths down in that part of the region. So. Not 19 million. No, I'm not sure. And again, I apologize. Jim had something come up last minute. So, again, this was sort of a first run. It's a lot of information. You don't have to give feedback directly to me now, but curious on if this is things you'd like to hear and be aware of when we go through our funding cycles. What type of feedback? I appreciate Becca and Helen's comments, and obviously being able to partner with ETA on all of these reconstruction projects for the 8A stops that Laura mentioned. If there's anything else, we're really curious to hear it, things we can pass on to the Technical Advisory Committee, and also if we do something like this next year when we're in the same cycle. So reach out to me, hugh@wfrc.org, if you want to do it offline. Ted.
I was reflecting on Helen's great comment and Becca Rolfe's great comment, and they're sort of roughly related of, you know, what is the space that we have available that is really safe to bicycle on? And it's not really a comment within the programs that Ben talked about, but it might be a policy question. It relates to the bill that Mike Winder put forward, the perhaps, which is HB 133 and our ability to use money for right-of-way for active transportation. And I don't know definitively what the fate is of that bill. I know it hasn't passed yet. But our ability to flexibly respond to these kinds of questions of, can we widen right-of-way for active transportation? Can we, instead of, let's say, a cheese whiz bike lane on a busy arterial, that's not a technical term, put it above curb where it's nice and safe? What are the tools at our disposal collectively to improve design? And I think that I just was noting that the questions that Helen and Becca raised kind of get at those policy options that we have available together.
Okay.
You're welcome to use the phrase cheese whiz by claim if you want.
Well, I think also the design tools have to involve Public Works, because I think they have a lot of issues with maintenance of those, especially like snow plowing and painting up the stripes if it's a buffer bike lane and that sort of thing. So I think that's part of the discussion too, is how much maintenance is going to be required, and is there a willingness for that effort?
As this is coming up as a little bit of a policy question, I wonder if this could be added to the policy goals for the year, to take a further look at this over the course of the next year and be ready to make some, I don't know, perhaps more substantial recommendations for the next round of funding.
Thank you, Becca. Any other comments? Okay, should we move on? All right. Okay, we could go to any agency, city, county program updates. Anyone have anything to let us know about? It appears we're, according to this clock over here, we're almost an hour ahead of schedule, so we're making good time.
All right.
Okay, no updates then.
In coordination with Bike Utah, we're organizing an out-of-state mobile active transportation tour. It's going to be in Denver this year. If there's folks that you know would benefit from that, staff, elected officials, yourselves, please let us know, and we'll coordinate that. It's always a really educational thing for people to come along, as Mayor Schoble mentioned last meeting. But that's going to be in September. And so we know budgets are getting put together right now. It's a good time to start thinking about those things for the next year.
Of course, I prepared a summary for the last meeting and I forgot to bring it with me this time, but an update on the Tiger Grant projects. We're making good progress on all of that. Oh, Kayla found it. Awesome. And Kayla saves the day. I was gonna say I can email it out to you all, but she's on it. So in the Tiger Grant, it was a $20 million grant total, with matching funds for a total of $31.8 million in active transportation projects. So there were 161 projects included in this grant. 80 of the 161 have been completed so far. We have a couple of projects currently in construction, 4 in design, and then there are about 4 more that are floating out there, which does not add up to the difference between 80 and 161, so I'm not sure what else we're missing. But of those that have been done, we've done 60 ADA ramps in Farmington and Bountiful, 11 bike lanes in South Jordan, Draper, Harriman, Ogden, Farmington, Tooele, 1 multi-use path in South Salt Lake City, that's the Parley's Trail, 2 bike share programs, 11 new stations in Summit County and Green Bike, 3 sidewalk projects in Farmington, 3 crosswalk improvements in Farmington, and then 2 that are under construction are a signalized crosswalk in Midvale and a sandy multi-use path. And then there's a variety of other things that are in the works in other cities, and I can share more information if anyone's interested. And I'll figure out what the other missing numbers are.
That's great. Thank you, Laura. Yes, Chris.
I just want to remind everyone that Utah Bike Summit is coming up April 14th. We hope everyone can make it, and we will be offering a special discount code for those that are members of this committee.
That's great. Thank you. Anything else? Okay, then we would like all of you to stand that either biked here or took transit. Any of those things, we'd like to recognize these people, give you a little token of our appreciation. I also like to remind you that our next meeting is April 8th. at 9:45, same time, same place.
Hopefully.
So we'll see you next month. And then also be aware and look at the upcoming events on your agenda. We have coming, be aware of those. I think that is everything. Unless anyone has any other comments, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you, Laura. Do I have a second? Norm? All right, all in favor? Any opposed? Okay, meeting is adjourned. Thank you.